I'm going to talk to you today on the basics of salvation. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who was dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's God's will for all of us to walk in his righteousness, and that good works follow us. The Bible makes it clear, very clear. Good works alone, apart from Jesus Christ, cannot save the soul. We cannot save ourselves by deciding we want to do change, turn over a new leaf, make a New Year's resolution. We are not saved by works apart from Christ. But once the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, good works will surely follow, because we become a new creature, a new nature. Not all of us change all at once, but the change begins to take place the moment the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. We will begin to bring forth the fruit that is evident in one who has partaken in the holiness of God. Notice that verse 1 said that before Christ we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were lost on our way to a burning hell without God and without hope. There is none that does good. No, not one. We're hopeless, in despair, in our sins. They're separating. Our sins are separating us from a holy, just God. There was nothing we could possibly do to save ourselves from the mess we were in. We walked according to the prince and power of the air, who is Satan himself. We were in bondage, the same as if chains were covering us from head to toe. There was no escape. Satan could laugh at us and mock and do all he could to keep us from obtaining salvation. Because that's what Satan has wanted from the beginning. To wreck God's creation and make sure every one of God's creation goes to the place where he is going, in eternal fire and torment. While we were in this state of a lost condition, though, someone loved us. We were loved by that same holy God that made the law, that made the world. That same holy God that created us. He saw us in our sin, and he gave us a way out. God wants us to have eternal life and live forever. It's not his will, according to Peter, that any should perish. He wants us to be free and to stay free. He does not want us to die in sin and be lost forever. First of all, the blood of Jesus has to cover our sins before we are saved. This brings us the new birth. We're born again by the Spirit of God. God is so good to have remembered us. To have remembered us here in this local church. To remembered us in this 21st century. And had somebody brought the gospel to us. We can be thankful for that. In the Old Testament, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Abel knew this when he offered a sacrifice that pointed to the one that would come and die for our sins. He knew that he needed a Savior. Cain, on the other hand, offered a sacrifice with no faith. I imagine Cain is one who didn't think he had any sin to repent of. Of course, we see later that he killed his brother, and we know that there was sin abiding in his heart and he needed to be saved. But Abel was the one that recognized the promise to come and that he was a sinner in need of salvation. Before we can be saved from sin, we have to realize we have sinned and we need a Savior. If we don't, we cannot be saved. Remember, Jesus didn't come to save us in our sin, but he came to save us from our sin. Why would he die such a horrible death and shed his blood just so we can claim salvation and return to the sin he saves us from? Remember, that sin is what separates us from God. That's why he had to come and die and cleanse our heart from it. He saves us from sin and then covers us with his righteousness. We're new creature covered in the righteousness of Jesus. We have no righteousness of our own. Then he gives us the living water, the Holy Spirit, and we're born again by the same Spirit so that we become new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. Sin is a bondage, a slavery, and a misery. He came to get us out of that stuff. He came to set us free from that stuff that's separating us from our Creator. Saving faith gets us out of sin and reunites us with God our Father. Remember, sin has separated us from God before Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem us back to God and take away our sin. Now we become His workmanship. Now we are a new creature made for good works. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because the Spirit of God abides in us and we are saved. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We cannot confess Jesus with our mouth and not believe in our heart to be saved. And we can't believe in our heart and not sooner or later not confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. To believe in Jesus means to believe that he died for our sins, believe that he rose from the dead, and believe that he meant what he said, go and sin no more. To believe in something means to partake in something, to accept it, to become part of it. You can't believe in Jesus and have nothing to do with him later on. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Isn't that beautiful? If we love God, we will keep his words. And the Father comes, and the Son comes, and abides with us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. In the Father and Son come in the person of the Holy Spirit and abides with us who believe. It is a beautiful story. That way all who simply believe in him can have the curse of eternal death removed from them and they can be born again by the Spirit of God. See, the law of God declares the soul that sins, it shall die. Death, of course, means eternal death. Eternal death in hell, forever separated from a holy God. All natural men and women will suffer a physical death. But the soul that sins will be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. This is the state we were in before Jesus Christ came to save us from sin. The law says the penalty for sin is death. Someone had to die. Someone had to die, though, in order to reverse this curse that came upon all mankind. Someone had to die that didn't die for his own sin. He had to be sinless. Yet all men inherited the sin nature of Adam. There was not man born of woman that was qualified to die and not have his own sin to die for. That's why God had to send his son. God had to come in the flesh in the form of his son Jesus. He had to come in the flesh and become one of us. He had to live completely without sin. He had to live till he became an adult and died on the cross, died in our place, the just for the unjust. That was the only way to reverse the curse that came through Adam when he disobeyed God. See, Adam disobeyed God when he didn't obey the word. The word was given to Adam. He disobeyed that word, and that brought sin. That opened the door for sin to come upon all mankind. And that is why a perfect man, a just man, a pure man had to come reverse it. But it had to be God that came in the flesh, because no man of himself could keep from sinning. Now, God doesn't make commandments for us to ignore them and disobey them, or he wouldn't be God. There's a penalty. There's a penalty for sin. There's a penalty in the law of our land. We have to be careful not to go over the speed limit. We have to be careful to pay our taxes and abide by the law. If we don't, there's a penalty. There's a penalty also for disobeying the law of God. And that's eternal death and eternal separation from God. See, God is God. He cannot lie. When he made the commandment, thou shalt surely die, he meant it. But he had a plan. He had a plan that all who would accept his son and believe in him and accept his death on their behalf can be saved from sin. The blood he shed on the cross covers our sin when we accept him in our life. Remember, to believe in Jesus is not to mentally believe he existed at one time. To believe in Jesus means to believe that he died and he rose again. It means to believe in him and believe his word. It means to accept him, to be partaker of his holiness, to become in Christ. Because the Bible says, if the Spirit of God doesn't abide in us, we do not belong to him. So how did God reverse this curse? How do we get rid of the sin that's separating us from a holy God? Well, we can't. There's no way. Only a sinless man had to live upon the earth and die without committing one sin. So that when he died not deserving that death. And then that innocent one, the death of that innocent one can count to reverse the curse that Adam brought upon all mankind. God came in the flesh and dwelt among us. He sent his son, which is the same as sending himself. Jesus was with God and was God from the beginning. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all God that has existed eternally with no beginning and no end. This perfect Son of God came into human flesh and became man and lived until he was adult. And he died without once committing sin. Yet he died for our sin. They crucified him as if he was a big law breaker and a sinner. But he was innocent. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This proves Jesus was eternal. Jesus is the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Since the penalty for sin is death, when Jesus died, he died not deserving to die because he had no sin. It is a beautiful, beautiful story. Now you remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus one time and he said, and Jesus told him that he must be born again to be saved. That you cannot be saved without being born again. And then Jesus said, how can a man, or not Jesus, Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he re-enter his mother's womb, be born again? And Jesus told him that he must be born of water and of spirit to enter God's kingdom. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. We have to be born by the Spirit to be saved from sin and have eternal life. It is something that's done by the Spirit of God. We cannot do this by being baptized in water. We cannot do this by doing good deeds, partaking of sacraments, or going to church, or by joining a church, or any earthly thing we think we have to do. Being saved from sin is only something that God can do. That's why when I read about the churches in the Middle Ages that tried to force people to join the church and be baptized and force people into the kingdom of God, there's no way. God has to do it. God has to send His Spirit and change us from the inside out. The Spirit of God comes into our lives and we become children of God. He has to do it. Now we have to allow it. We have to believe. He's not going to force this on us. The Spirit of God comes into our life and we're changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ comes into us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost for power for service here, but the baptism of the Spirit where we're baptized into the body of Christ. We become born again by the Spirit. And it causes us to have eternal life. We receive the Spirit when we come to Christ, and He cleanses us from sin. There is no doubt about that because the Spirit of God, if we do not have the Spirit of God, we don't even belong to Him. This salvation is for men, women, and children. You know, God doesn't leave out women. Remember John 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then comes a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. Wow. Now we know the rest of the story, where she wanted this living water, and Jesus pointed out her sin, and then she went to the city and told the men about Jesus, and they came to hear him herself. You may have called her the first woman evangelist. She went and shared what Jesus told her to these men. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Oh, glory to God, that living water. So now we hear first about being, he told Nicodemus that you must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. And now we hear him tell this woman that she can have a well of living water springing up within her. See, that's the Holy Spirit that saves us. That's a well of living water springing up. The Holy Spirit is represented by being born again. We're born again by the Spirit. That's how we're saved. But the blood of Jesus has to be applied to our heart first and cleanse us from the sin. Then the Holy Spirit comes in and we're born again by the Spirit. And now he tells of this living water. That's another way of describing the Spirit of God that saves us. And that if we just believe in Him and accept these things, we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can have our sins washed away by His blood. And we are changed from the inside out. His Spirit comes in and we are changed. Jesus took time out of His busy schedule to see this one woman. I believe He sent the disciples to town on purpose so He could save this one lone woman. Don't tell me God doesn't care about women. Don't tell me that He leaves women out. Because remember Mary and Martha? where he said Martha was busy in the kitchen and she was complaining to Jesus because Mary wouldn't help her. And Jesus said, well, Mary has chosen the good part and it shall not be taken away from her. It's God's will for women who desire to share the word of God to share it. Jesus does not put down women. He does not forbid women to speak and share his word. From Nicodemus, we learn of the new birth. Now we hear the same salvation called living water. Remember, Jesus said we must be born of water and the Spirit. The living water is another name for being born again of the Spirit. It takes the Spirit of God entering into our lives to make us right with God. Remember also in the book of Ephesians, the church, or we are cleansed, we're sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. This is that living water too. It's the Word of God. And Jesus also is represented by the Word of God. Romans 10 and 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He that believes on me, the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And again, I'll repeat this in another one. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, make our abode with him. We can't say that we're saved by grace and then ignore his words. I got to read that again. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. The Father will love him, and we will come make our abode with him. God in us. It is beautiful. God in us. Think about that. First of all, you come, you recognize you're a sinner. You need to be saved. You need a Savior. Then you hear about the gospel of Jesus. A faithful preacher brings you the gospel. And you hear about a man called Jesus that's actually God. And that he came to save us from sin. You begin to cry out and believe upon this one. Say, I want to be cleansed from sin. I want to be saved. I want to belong to God. I want to become his child. And then he comes in and the blood washes away that sin. And that sin that was separating us from God is washed away and it's cleansed. And then the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. We're made new. The living water comes and cleanses and refreshes us. And we are made right with God, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have to understand every detail of this. All we have to do is simply believe and recognize we need this. We need to be born again by His Spirit. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, we become a son of God, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. You can't force this on anybody. God's got to do it. You got to be cleansed from the inside out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So why am I preaching the gospel this morning? Because we tend to forget the basics. We tend to forget the simple message of the gospel that saves the soul from eternal death. We need to be constantly reminded of the price that was paid for our salvation and the serious it is not to depart from this way. We need to be reminded of these things just in case someone should ask us, what must they do to be saved? What would we answer them? Would we say, well, let's just go to church? Or would we say, just be a good person, do a few good deeds? Or would we just say, I'm not sure, I don't know? It wouldn't hurt us to read and study the words about salvation. Get a good Bible with a commentary, with a good reference that shows you where they are. Or even if you have the internet, download eSword, a free Bible program, and you can just type in its little search engine, the word salvation, born again, and it'll give you all the scriptures that refer to being saved. And it will put, and then we will have this, get this in our spirit, get this inside of us, and then when someone asks us how to be saved, the Holy Spirit will be there to prompt us and tell us. So that we can minister to them one by one. Let's be ready. Let's have these in our heart. But first of all, let's make sure that we have been born again. This is God's greatest gift.